Amen. Well, good morning, church family. It's good to be with you all. As Matt has said, my name is Josh. I'm the pastor in training at Caution Baptist Church, and we're going to be continuing in our series in Luke's Gospel this week, in Luke chapter 12. So if you've got a blue Bible in front of you, if you want a quick way, a cheat sheet way to navigate there, it's on page 1045. Otherwise, we are going to Luke chapter 12, verses 22-33. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to imagine with me that yet another bill comes through your front door. You see the amount and it's frightening. And it becomes all that you think about. You think, how could I possibly think to pay this off? And as it sits into your mind, you start to get an itch. An itch of anxiety that's constant. You manage to pay off the bill, praise God. But then there's still an itch that remains because, you know, next month you're likely to get another bill just like it. Or maybe it's not a bill that you might be worried about. Maybe your health is something that frightens you here today. Maybe you dread another doctor's appointment coming up and that itch, it's there. You know it's coming. And there's nothing you can do to scratch that itch. What do you do with that worry? Do you maybe distract yourself with a hobby? Or with putting effort into your house? Or is your fear just all-consuming and you don't know where to go with it? Finances, health, food, water, clothes, all of these things are so important. But if we're not careful, they can become all that we think about, causing great anxiety. I want to ask us, why do we get anxious about what we need? Why do we get anxious about what we need? I venture to say this morning that it is because we think that God doesn't care about us enough to provide for our needs. When I was preparing this text, I was quite torn as to what the main point of our passage is. Is it that God just provides for our needs? Oh, don't think that's what Luke is going to be getting at here as he retells Jesus' words. Instead, God providing for our needs is just the backdrop to show that God cares for us. This morning, I want to raise our trust in the Lord Jesus and in our Heavenly Father who cares for you. So that you know that you will be provided for every need you have in Christ. Let me tell you, if your heart is set on what you need, then you will worry and be anxious because your heart will not be set on who you need. Knowing that God cares for you is the healing balm to your anxieties. I'm going to invite Sarah up to read from Luke 12 for us.
Verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Sarah, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm just going to pray one more time. That's okay, can't get enough of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for your word that is living and is alive today. We thank you that you speak into us, Holy Spirit, by these words that you breathed. I pray that we will meet with Jesus this morning. As we unpack your words, Lord, please help me to do so in a way that's honouring and edifying to you. Lord, may our anxieties slip away, Lord, as we are healed by knowing that our Heavenly Father cares for us. In your precious name I pray. Amen. In verse 22, Jesus says to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you will wear." Just remember, this is coming off of the heels of Jesus teaching against a wrong focus of storing up treasures on earth. You know, we may think to ourselves, I'll save up to get this house or this car or this next toy, or maybe I want to make life as comfortable for me as possible, as if we've got all the time in the world. Jesus describes these kind of things as worries, because some of these things can be genuine concerns, such as providing food or clothing. But now this is why Jesus turns to his disciples instead of to the crowd, and he says that they do not need to be anxious about their needs. Because if those things become our fixation, then the disciples will place onto their shoulders a burden which they can't carry. Unlike the creation that Jesus points to, we, as fallen people, we sow and we reap, in verse 24. We labour and we spin, in verse 27. This kind of language it's toiling, it's striving, we're burdening ourselves with this kind of action, as if we could add another hour to our lives by doing so. This is what it looks like to try and scratch that itch of anxiety ourselves. But Jesus says that we can't. Now, Jesus condemns such a mindset like that because it takes away our trust that God will look after us. That's why he calls us and his disciples in verse 28, "You of little faith." Now, I love seeing the authority and power of Jesus, but also his gentleness. See, this is the same lion that roars in one sentence, but then purrs our comfort in the next. We see this when Jesus turns to his disciples and commands them not to be anxious about these things, for they distract us from true life. It says in verse 23, "For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Some of us may be familiar with the movie The Lion King. Within this story, Simba, He is exiled from his town, his pride, because he is framed for the murder of his father by his mean uncle Scar. And he's distraught. He doesn't know what he's going to do. He doesn't know how he's going to be provided for anymore. And he runs into a very flamboyant duo in the form of a warthog called Pumbaa and a meerkat called Timon. And understandably, Simba is grieving. He is absolutely grieving. He is torn apart. And they come up with a very helpful thing for him to hear at this moment. Say, "Hey, have you tried not worrying about it?" They say, "Hakuna Matata, it means no worries." There is a carefree motto that they think you could live by. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just, it'll all be fine. Now, if we're not careful, when we hear Jesus speak today in this passage, we might hear him saying with that same kind of voice, "Don't worry about it," as if he's being dismissive about the things that we care about. But instead, Jesus points us to God, who life is about. because he's the correct anxiety-banishing focus we are to have. In verse 24, he says, "Consider the ravens who don't sow or reap. They have no storehouse, no barn, yet God feeds them." See, when you look at a raven, does it look stressed? No. I mean, it looks quite mean, to be honest, but it doesn't look stressed. It's not worrying about where its next meal is going to come from. They don't meticulously plan these things out. Unlike the rich fool, like in verse 18, that stores up this surplus grain. No, a raven doesn't have that kind of thing. They don't open another bank account. They don't worry about how they're going to get their groceries this week. They recognize that God feeds them. And what's amazing is that Jesus has such a high view on how intimately involved God is with his creation. Now, God is not an absentee creator who wound up the clock and let it go. No, Jesus says he feeds them. Perhaps if you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus here this morning, hear this. Every good thing you have in your life is a gift from God. That includes your own breath. You can't control where that comes from. Any moment, we could stop breathing if God doesn't uphold us. Every need that you have that has been met is God providing for you intimately. And the raven is given as an example to show how good God is to all of his creation, to show that he cares for them. This is also a reminder for us as believers to remember that God is the one who's providing for us all along. Whenever we feel tempted to think we're doing great, we're doing brilliant, we're providing everything we need, it's actually a helpful reminder to know that it is God who is blessing us in such a way. Now, some of us today may not think that God is caring for us. Maybe we're in a state of sin or in a state of just feeling absent from God to think, why would God care for me? I've not prayed in a week. I've not even opened my Bible in a month. Why would God even think to care for me? You know, the raven, I think Jesus uses this very intentionally. It's such a staggering choice for an illustration. Because in the Old Testament ceremonial law, ravens were seen as an unclean animal. So as a Jewish person, you would want to steer clear of such a beast. The disciples, they would not want to go anywhere near them. And yet Jesus says God feeds them. If God provides for an unclean animal, don't you think he'll care for you? Don't you think he'll meet your needs if he treats a creature with such kindness like that? Christians, how much more valuable you are than birds. In 1 Peter chapter 9, God's people are described as a chosen people, God's special possession. He provides for his special possession in every way that the Heavenly Father knows that we need. So who of us, by worrying, could add a single hour to our life? Since we can't do this very little thing, why do we worry about the rest? You know, if our health is deteriorating, or if we're worried about how we're going to pay our bills, I understand the worry, as does our Lord Jesus. It's scary. But Jesus comforts us here not to be afraid. Because we don't have to worry about what we need if we have a relationship with such a good God, the one who has numbered our days and cares for us on each of those. He knows how many days, hours, minutes that we have on this earth because he has assigned them. And he also will provide for our needs in every one of those days, hours, minutes, and seconds, if only we would realize it. This raven is a beautiful, physical, everyday reminder that when you see one, remember just how valued you are by God. Know how much he cares for you. So when you have that scratch, when you've got that itch of anxiety, Consider the raven. Apply that healing balm and know that your heavenly Father cares for you. Your needs will be met because he provides for his children and he promises to look after us. Know that you are truly valued by God. Jesus also tells us to set your heart on the God who satisfies your needs. Another film illustration, because I love them. The 2017 film, The Greatest Showman. Don't know if anybody else has seen it. But within it, there is a character called Jenny Lind, who you see up there. She is a very talented performer, singer, actress. She has performed in front of queens and the elite of the day. And she has a beautiful voice that stuns many, including our protagonists of the movie. She has a song that is assigned to her throughout the film called Never Enough. And within it, she sings these lines. All the shine of 1,000 spotlights and all the stars we steal from the night sky will never be enough. And you know, that's a good message. To know that she has experienced what it means to be famous, to have all the celebrity, to have everything that she needs. And she's chased after all of these other things. And she knows that it will never be enough to satisfy her. And I'd say that's a good message until she decides to go for the protagonist to fulfill her needs. The married protagonist, may I add. She thinks that having then this relationship will be enough to satisfy that need. She tries to clothe herself to scratch that anxiety that she's tried before. You know, whenever I watch that, I want to reach through the screen to shake her. Like, Jenny, that's not going to do it either. What you need is to set your heart on God. It's what I say to us as well this morning. No matter what we try to clothe ourselves with, it will not satisfy. It will never be enough. Only a relationship, setting your heart on God, will satisfy that anxiety. For the disciples, Jesus says in verse 22, don't worry about your body, what you will wear. See, clothes in those days are definitely, as they are today, a need. But then it was a much scarcer need. You wouldn't have a different outfit for every day of the week. You know, this morning I felt spoiled for choice as to what shirt to wear for preaching. There was no Primark either. You couldn't just go and get a cheap pair of clothes. What they had for clothes was what they really needed. And yet, even in that need, there was still a desire to be dressed well. Jesus warns the disciples at the start of chapter 12 to beware the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. The Pharisees would have been dressed in ornate robes. Everybody would have seen their importance. And these disciples following the Lord Jesus, something within them might have been a temptation to want to be recognized in such a way. And you know, there's something within all of us that will attempt to scratch the itch of our anxieties, to cover our needs with our wants. You know, what do you worry about? How do you try and scratch the itch yourself? For me, it's probably my physical performance in the gym, to be honest. It's a good thing in and of itself, but if I'm not careful, that easily becomes my focus that tries to suppress any anxiety that I feel. You know, tracking calories, making sure I'm going up in weight. By the weight I lift, I mean, not like this. But what's really ironic is that if that then becomes my focus of trying to cure my own anxiety, it actually makes me more anxious. The itch wound, the scratch wound goes deeper. Friends, what is it for you? Is it retail therapy? Is it actual clothing? Is it maybe our families? How well our kids or our grandkids are doing at school? Is that how we try and scratch our anxiety? Is it maybe building a comfortable home? Just one more extension, one more decoration. Will that be enough to satisfy my anxiety? But here is what Jesus says to such things in verse 29, to not set our heart on such things. The world runs after these things. But in verse 30, he says, if you're a child of God, your heavenly Father knows what you need. So you don't have to make those things your chief focus, these wants becoming your needs, because he will provide for what you truly need. As a good God, he knows your need greater than you do. As a good God, he knows your need greater than you do. Hallelujah. No matter what I think would work, he knows better. In the Greek, the word for set your heart, as you read there in verse 29, it's the same word that's translated as to seek the kingdom in verse 31. So in answer to all of these things, Jesus says, he lovingly tells us in verse 31, set your heart instead on God's kingdom. And these things that you need, that God knows you need, will be provided for you as well. When we put God as our focus, as our loving Heavenly Father, those other things suddenly don't become as important. And our trust of him grows and blossoms. And our anxieties ease as our trust and our love for him increases. I want to ask us this morning, where's your heart? Who has your heart at the moment? Is it the things of the world? Is it our anxieties? Or is it a loving Father? This morning, I'm very conscious that I've been describing God as a heavenly Father. And perhaps for some of us, that's a hard thing to relate to hear God as a Father. Perhaps because you've not had the best experience of what a father is meant to look like. My friend, the healing balm to that wound as well is to see how good of a father our God is. To not diminish what a father he is, but to know greater how good he is as a father. Consider how the wildflowers grow in verse 27. They don't labor or spin. Yet Jesus tells us not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And if that is how God the Father clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, how much more will he clothe you? That is the kind of Father our God is. The richest and most extravagant king in all of ancient Israel's history wasn't dressed remotely as beautifully as a simple flower that God puts such effort into. You know what? Solomon had some great tailors. And yet, every flower is more beautiful than he was. If that is how God puts such care into a plant that doesn't even last more than a few months before it wilts and hibernates, how much more will he clothe you if you're a child of God? He will provide your needs and clothe you, not with Gucci or Prada or Tommy Hilfiger, but with eternal life. Here today, gone tomorrow, sees the flower. We are reminded of our finality here. But if we have our trust and our hope in a heavenly Father and the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are clothed with eternal life, where we will be enjoying eternal joy and peace with him, far more beautifully in dressed in his righteousness than anything we could try and clothe ourselves with now. If we place our trust in God as the gift giver, that's where true freedom from anxiety reigns. We know that God will give us everything we need because he didn't withhold his own son from us, Jesus Christ. He will withhold nothing from us if it's for our needs because he did not withhold his own son. See, through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the grave, those who put their faith and trust in him receive forgiveness and become God's children. And then we experience a freedom from the rule of anxiety, and we get to call God our Father as we're saved into that eternal life. Friends, there is no other religion or mindset like this in the world. In everything else, you earn it. You sacrifice to get what you want. You labor, you toil, you spin. But in Christianity, God is the one that pays the price with the cost of his treasured son so that we could be restored to him. If it pleases him to make you an inheritor of the kingdom by accepting Jesus, he will certainly care for you with your needs. As God's word says in Isaiah 61, I delight greatly in the Lord. This is through salvation given from God. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. See, this is why Jesus urges us to seek his kingdom now. As a child of God, you are robed, you are clothed in Jesus' own righteousness. So we get to live now like we will then. We will know that we will be cared for totally there, so we can have that same assurance now. So when you feel the anxieties tugging at you, remember the freedom you have and consider the flowers. See how beautiful they are. And know, apply that healing balm, know that God will clothe you in Jesus' righteousness and with security of salvation in his name. Set your heart on the God who satisfies your needs. And finally, know that God is your true treasure. Now, seeking God's kingdom can sound tricky. Okay, especially if we bear in mind what Jesus says earlier in Luke's gospel, that to be a disciple of Jesus means to take up your cross daily and follow him. And it seems like a very tall order. How could I possibly do that? Well, throughout our passage today, we've seen that Jesus is not blasé when he tells us not to worry, because he knows this can be hard. It can seem hard. He says to us in verse 32, don't be afraid, little flock. Don't be afraid, little flock. See, this is spoken by the good shepherd, Jesus himself, who laid down his life for his sheep and ensures that his sheep's needs are cared for. This is the God we are to treasure. See, when we treasure him, we can know more fully that he cares for us. That is the healing balm to our anxieties. Is your heart set with God in his kingdom or in the world? Is your treasure with the Father? Or is it in our possessions, in our family, in our health? See, we may think seeking, when Jesus speaks about it, involves earning still. We can still have that old mindset. I must seek the kingdom then if I'm not meant to worry. Particularly when in verse 33, Jesus says to sell your possessions and give to the poor. But it's very important that verse 33 is prefaced, it comes after verse 32. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He's been pleased to give you the kingdom. Contrast that with all of the other toiling language we've seen together. From verse 24, we sow, we reap, we worry. Verse 27, we labor, we spin. In verse 30, we run after these things like the world does. And yet it pleases God to give you the kingdom. That is such a healing balm to our anxiety. He gives you his kingdom. No earning, no sacrifice is required on our part, because Jesus is the one who paid that sacrifice for us to receive God's riches in a relationship with him. When we become Christians, this is how Paul describes what happens in Romans chapter 8. The spirit you received doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. See, God the Father is the King and he is the treasure of the kingdom. See, if your treasure is in anything else other than God, whether that's a bank account or your health or your clothes or your foods, all of those things can be gone in an instant. Yet the treasure, if it is found in God, if he is the treasure, then in verse 33, Jesus says, he is a kind of treasure that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief could come and take and destroy it. Now, this is a treasure that lasts for all eternity. It is solid. Here, Jesus urges his disciples then even, if it helps them to treasure God more, to then sell their possessions. And to sell your possessions, not to earn it, but just to help you focus. To help you realize who your greatest treasure is. Because Jesus says in verse 34, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So I ask us again, is your heart in the world with things or our worries? Or is it with God? Because one of those things will cause anxious itching, and the other is a healing balm to your anxieties. God is the treasure that provides your every need, and he will ensure that you have enough. So as we come into close, think back again to the start when I asked you to imagine when a bill comes through your door, or the doctor's appointment is coming up, and you feel the itch. Where will you turn with that anxiety? You know, will you turn to a want to replace your needs, to try and cover it yourself? Or will you consider the ravens? Will you consider the flowers? Will you remind yourself through those that you are valued by God? We remember that God will clothe you in Jesus' righteousness and provide for your needs because he cares for you. I encourage us, when those itches come, to set your heart on knowing God and treasuring the Father through the Son, so that we can know that we will be provided for because God calls us his treasure. Knowing that God cares for you is the healing balm to your worries. Let's pray together. Lord God, please forgive us for when we have not placed our trust in you. Lord, when the worries that come about in this broken world threaten to overwhelm us, help us, Holy Spirit, to keep our eyes fixed on our treasure, which is in heaven, which is our Heavenly Father. Lord, I thank you that you care for us. Lord, that you give us such simple ways of reminding us by just looking at a bird or a flower to remind us of how much you care for us, to know how much you will clothe us with eternal life. I thank you that with you, we don't have to worry. And I thank you that in your care, you don't just tell us to knock it off. You tell us instead to, you remind us of who God is and what his character is. I thank you that we have a loving God. Please write that on our hearts. Write it on my heart, Lord, to know that God cares for us. I thank you that you will provide our every need. Affect this in our lives, I pray. Amen.